You'll turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's one in the pew rack in front of you. And I'll be reading for us this morning verses 27 through 34. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, beginning at verse 27. Hear now God's word. And as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith be it done to you." And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, "See that no one knows about it." But they went away and spread his fame throughout all that district. As they were going away, behold, a demon-oppressed man who was mute was brought to him. And when the demon had been cast out, the mute man spoke. And the crowds marveled, saying, "Never has anything like this been seen in Israel." But the Pharisees said, "He casts out demons by the prince of demons." So far, the reading of God's word. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we give you thanks for your word and that we have it before us in a language that we can understand. But we thank you that we have more than that. We have the presence of your Holy Spirit with us. And we pray that he might work through this word to open our ears, to open our eyes, so that we might see Jesus, that we might see Jesus in all of his glory. I pray that you would be with your people this morning, that we would have come into this place to hear you speak to us, but more than that, by the powerful working of your Spirit, that we might go away, not the same people who came in, but changed, so that we might serve you, that we might love you, and that all these things might be true to the glory of our God and Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name. Amen. Every one of you has a name. And in fact, every one of you has not only a name, but you have a title as well. If you're a man, you're Mr. If you're a woman who is married, often you're called Mrs., like my wife, Mrs. Hop. If you're a young woman, you might be called by somebody Miss or Ms. Even young boys, although we don't use this title very much anymore, would have been called a master. Some others of us, depending on our education and our profession, have other titles in front of our names. Reverend, a doctor. Maybe if you come from a royal family, you might be a prince or a king. In Haiti, of course, being a pastor, that's just the way that they call me, and so I'm Pasteur Benjamin. But for my wife, she also has a title, and the way that they address people in Haiti is often by the name and along with the title of your husband, so everybody knows my wife Heather as Madame Pasteur Benjamin. Most people, if you were to talk to them, even those who know us well as a family, don't even know Heather's first name. Because that's who she is. But those titles that are affixed to our names tell us something about the person. What is your title? Well, we know that God in the Scriptures describing himself and Jesus himself in his ministry also had titles. Jesus was called the Messiah. Jesus was often called Lord, the Son of God, the Son of Man. He was Jesus of Nazareth because that was where he came from. And every one of those titles that the Scripture brings to us tell us something about who Jesus is and about the work that he does. And so as we look at this Scripture passage this morning, I want you to pay close attention to the titles and the names that are given to Jesus. As we ask the question this morning, who is Jesus? Because it's a question that every one of you who is here this morning needs to ask yourselves. Because really, there are only two answers. Either you say that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, as He's described to us here in the passage in the Gospel of Matthew, or as the Pharisees title Jesus, He's the Prince of Demons. Either Jesus is the Prince of Peace, or He's the Prince of Demons. You need to decide. You need to decide, particularly as we come to the table this morning. But let's look and see these people that have encounters with Jesus and the titles that they give to Him. And so let's look, first of all, who do the blind men say that Jesus is? Jesus passed on from there after He had healed Jairus' daughter, raised her from the dead. He moved on to another district. And in verse 27, it says, as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed Him. These were persistent men. They followed Him, crying aloud, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." They didn't just go to the disciples and ask to meet with Jesus. But they followed after Him. They cried out, trying to get Jesus' attention. They were persistent. You know, often, particularly as I go to the airport to pick people up who are visiting us in Haiti, I'm approached by other people who, in some senses, are persistent, like these blind men. They won't be people that I know, but I'll be there standing outside the airport waiting for my visitors to come out the door, and they'll come up and begin to talk to me in Haitian Creole, and they all have a story. And usually the punchline of that story is, I need help with something. I need money for this. I need help paying this medical bill. And I'll listen to their story as I have time. And then at the end of that, I say, you know, I'm really sorry. I don't know you. We're involved with particular churches. I just can't help you today. And then what happens is the story goes on. It might change a little bit in the details, and they'll try again to get me to change my answer. And again, I'll say, you know, I'm really sorry. I just can't help you. And sometimes three and four times, sometimes the story changes in a way that it's obvious that it's just not true. In other ways, they bring other people and circumstances into the story. But they have something that they need, and so they are persistent in asking for it. These blind men had no one who could help them. But they knew that Jesus could help them. And so they go to Him, asking Him for help, saying, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." Notice the title that they apply to Jesus. They call Him the Son of David. They recognize that Jesus is a descendant of David. In fact, Matthew, earlier in his gospel, at the very beginning, as he sets out before us that genealogy, tells us that Jesus is a descendant of David. He is royalty. But it's more than that. They are recognizing Him as the one who inherits the covenant promises that were made to Abraham. Those promises that said, "I will put for you a son on the throne, and you will never lack someone to sit on your throne. He will rule the world." And so they are recognizing Jesus as the Messiah. Who do the blind men say that Jesus is? They say that He is the Son of David, the Messiah. Later on, we'll see the crowds use that same title of Jesus when He enters into Jerusalem triumphantly on that donkey. They cry out, "Hosanna to the Son of David." They know that He is the only one who can help them. And so we see that after Jesus has arrived at His destination, He enters into a house, the blind men come in, and Jesus has a question for them. He wants to know, "Do you really believe that I am the Son of David, that I am the Messiah who has been long promised? Do you believe that I am able to do this?" Because you see, God had promised that when the Messiah came, He would come with signs and wonders, that His message of salvation would come with signs like the healing of the blind. And Matthew just records a very simple response. They say, "Yes, Lord." Again, a title ascribed to Jesus, recognizing that He is the Master and they are the servants. Yes, Lord, we believe. And so he touches their eyes. And here we see the fulfillment of that promise given to Isaiah in Isaiah 42, verse 7. They had probably heard these scriptures, although they had never seen them on the written page. They had heard them as Isaiah speaks in Isaiah 42, verse 7. The servant of the Lord will come to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prisoners those who sit in darkness. He would come to open the eyes of the blind that they might see their Savior in front of them. And it's interesting, isn't it, that Jesus touched their eyes and he says to them, according to your faith, be it done to you. You see, as we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he requires from us not so much physical eyes that can see. And you and I recognize this because Jesus has long ascended into heaven to glory. We will not see him with our eyes until he comes again. We can't see Jesus with our physical eyes, just like these blind men. But he requires of us faith to believe that he is who he says he is, that he is the Messiah of God. And that's what Jesus is saying. Do you believe in the one who speaks these words and the one whose hands touch your eyes to heal you? And of course they do. And their eyes were open, and Jesus sternly warned them, see that no one knows about it. But they went away and spread his fame throughout all the district. A number of times in the text in Matthew, we hear this warning of Jesus to people after some great miracle has happened, saying, don't tell anybody about him. And we kind of wonder, why would Jesus say that? Particularly because the first thing people do as soon as Jesus has helped them is they go and tell their friends, they go and tell the people of their village. But Jesus was not one to promote himself. And as the scriptures, particularly in John, tell us, people didn't really understand what Jesus was doing until the Holy Spirit was given. And so in a sense, he wants them to wait for the resurrection, for the greatest of the miracles, before Jesus is revealed to the world. Who do the blind men say that Jesus is? He is the Son of God. He's the Messiah. Secondly, we come to another man. As they were going away, the text says in verse 32, behold, a demon-oppressed man who was mute was brought to him. Who does the mute, demon-possessed man say that Jesus is? He can't speak. And yet, what Jesus does for him speaks volumes about his understanding. And again, just like the healing of this blind man, it points us back to the promises that God had made to his people. That God, when he sent his Messiah into the world, not only would the blind people see, but those who were deaf would hear, those who were mute would speak, those who were in prison, even to Satan himself and his demons, would be set free. He cannot speak at all, and yet he gives glory to God here. This man who was under the prince of the power of the air is confronted with Jesus Christ himself, the power of God, and he heals him. And when the demon had been cast out, the mute man spoke. Matthew doesn't record for us the words of this man, but we can imagine his thankfulness to Jesus. We can imagine the words that he used to praise God that he has now been delivered. And in a sense, the crowds here tell us something of what he has said. The crowds marveled, saying, never has anything like this been seen in Israel. Who does the mute, demon-possessed man say Jesus is? He says that Jesus is a deliverer. He is the only one who can deliver from the power of Satan. And we know from the Gospels, he is the only one who can deliver us from sin and from death itself. Again, Isaiah chapter 43, speaking of this servant of the Lord who was to come. He says, "Bring out the people who are blind yet have eyes, who are deaf yet have ears. All the nations gather together and the peoples assemble. Who among them can declare this and show us the former things? Let them bring their witnesses to prove them right, and let them hear and say, it is true." And even before the Pharisees, who we're going to talk about in just a second, they declare the glories of God, the deliverance that He brings, that He is, in fact, the Prince of Peace. He heals this man. He reveals to us that Jesus is the Deliverer. And now He speaks the truth. But the account is not over, because in verse 34 we read, "But the Pharisees said, 'He casts out demons by the prince of demons.'" We've asked who the blind men say Jesus is. They say He's the Messiah. The mute man says He is the Deliverer, the one who can set me free. Who do the Pharisees say Jesus is? Well, they say He serves the devil himself. We see these two responses, don't we, to the words and the works of Jesus. Two responses. Often in my ministry in Haiti, I travel to the island of La Gonave to preach at the churches there. And on a Saturday, I'll go down to the wharf and wait for the ferry to leave and go there. And very often there are guys there wanting to help me carry my bags down. When we have teams, they'll do the same thing. Sometimes I get them to help. Sometimes I don't need help, and that's okay. There's one particular man, Mirelis, and sometimes he's very helpful. Sometimes he greets me, he knows who I am, and we talk, and I get him to help take my bags down. But there was another particular time when he was extremely unhappy. I don't know what was going on in his life, but we had already talked to a couple other men, said, "Yes, we'll help, let you help us bring our bags down to the boat." And he was angry that we weren't going to use him, that he wasn't going to get paid by us that day. And it was as if he had turned into another person. He was railing at us as foreigners, railing against us as missionaries, saying that we never help, that we just leave the Haitian people in their economic misery. And we were on the boat and he continued in front of the whole crowd of people, even threatening to kill us. And we wondered, who is this man? I don't even know who he is. But that was the problem with the Pharisees. They looked at this man Jesus, and because they did not have faith in their hearts, they could not confess with the blind man, "Yes, this is the Messiah." They couldn't confess with the mute, demon-possessed man, "This man has delivered me. He's the Deliverer." And so the only explanation they can come up with is that his power comes from the devil himself. They say Jesus is not the Prince of Peace, but the Prince of Demons. They saw His power. They couldn't deny the power that He had. And so, instead of denying the power, they deny where that power comes from. And all through the Gospels, we see this pattern of unbelief on the part of the Pharisees again. It comes down to a matter of faith. Who will you believe? Will Jesus be the object of your faith? Do you believe what He has done? And so they say, no, Jesus is the Prince of Demons. It's interesting that we don't see a response from Jesus here. At least in Matthew's account, it just ends and he goes on to other cities and villages in verse 35 without a response to this very grave accusation. And in fact, it's a pattern in Jesus' life when there are accusations with no merit whatsoever. He just remains silent, recognizing that he will be justified by his deeds and by his words. Because he has come to bring light into the darkness, and he is the one who has power over all authorities. Well, that brings us to the question for us this morning. Who do you say that Jesus is? You side with the blind man, the mute man, or do you side maybe with the Pharisees, or maybe you're somewhere on the fence, you haven't quite decided. Who is this Jesus? In fact, Jesus later on in Matthew 16 is going to ask his disciples that very question. Who do you say that I am? Don't worry about what the crowd say. Don't worry about what others say. But who do you say that I am? Today you need to decide. Because even the Pharisees who rejected Jesus and his message couldn't reject his power. And so they said, he's a fraud, he's a liar, he is the devil himself. And the only other option you have is to say that he is who he says he is, who the scriptures reveal to us that he is. That we look to him in faith. Even when our physical eyes are blind, with the eyes of faith, we can read, we can hear the scriptures and say, yes, Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the one who is able to heal both body and soul. And the good news is that he accepts all truly repentant sinners. He welcomes all those who have trusted in him to come to the table. You see, that's why you need to think this over this morning, because as we come to the table, we fence the table because Jesus has said, this table is for my people. Those who have said, yes, Jesus is my deliverer. Jesus is the Messiah long promised who came to save me. And so he welcomes all those who have trusted in him by faith to come to eat and drink with him in the hope of the resurrection, and in the hope and the joy that one day we will eat at a table spread with a far greater banquet in heaven itself at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you have spoken to us in your word and reminded us that Jesus is indeed your Son. He is the one who has promised to come to save your people from their sins. We thank you that we have that forgiveness. And no matter what our physical infirmities might be, if we trust in Jesus Christ by faith, we will be saved. We have a hope. We have a hope for heaven. But Lord, I pray that you would be with your people this week and that they might be able to live in that hope, even in this coming week, that as you take these words and that as you apply them to their hearts, that they might desire more and more to live for you, that their lives might be a testimony, even as the lives of these blind men and this mute man were to the Lord Jesus Christ. So be with us and help us as we continue to worship you together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.